Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 20 through 33. Please listen for God's word. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will be my servant also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice from heaven, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said an angel has spoken to him. And Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of the world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please bow with me in prayer. Gracious God, your word is a gift to us. Open our hearts and our minds to hear the lesson that you have for us this morning so that we may instill it in our lives and fulfill your mission here on earth. Amen. Just in time, grace. God didn't make us reservoirs that were able to store up huge quantities of love and joy and grace. Instead, God gives us what we need when we need it. Just in time, or JIT, is actually a manufacturing term. It's how manufacturers handle their inventory, or how they used to handle their inventory. And it was a major shift in inventory management. In the old days, to ensure that production was always running and that there was never a shortage of anything, you remember those days when we had huge warehouses, pretend this isn't Cranberry, other huge warehouses full of inventory of things. And there was a lot of trucking, a lot of staffing. It was a very costly operation. Huge amounts of money were kept in flow, huge amounts of staffing, and everything cost a little bit more. Nowadays, we have a different process. And this just-in-time inventory came from an idea that was written in a book by Henry Ford in 1923 called My Life and Work. It wasn't fully implemented for quite some time, and then it was never implemented by Ford, but by Toyota. They were the first ones, and in this country, it was the food chain, Piggly Wiggly. So now you notice when you go to the supermarket, they don't often have 100 other things in the back room. There really even is no back room. Their trucks come in every day and fill up that storage that you need, and you pretty much know that if they don't have it on Monday, they'll have it again by Wednesday because they're getting constant shipments in. It's a big improvement over the way things used to be done because there isn't a lot of spoilage, there isn't a lot of waste, but it doesn't always work in the real world. And sometimes I think we question whether or not it works in our own lives. So keeping that in mind, let's shift back to that first scripture reading from Jeremiah. We're hearing again about the failing of the people of God to keep the Mosaic covenant. But God doesn't abandon them. Instead, he gives them not only another opportunity, but a slightly different opportunity. We're not going to just write the law this time on a tablet of stone. He's going to write it on their hearts. The church has understood the coming of Jesus as a major fulfillment of that new covenant. The covenant that we have been given over and over again. But even as we understand that as a new covenant, we aren't so much conscious all the time of God's grace as an overreaching principle of that covenant. And God's grace is with us all the time, every minute of every day. Thankfully, God's economy operates on a just-in-time principle. There was never a time when God said, "Here you are when you're born. This is your grace for a lifetime. Spend it wisely, because there will be no more." That was not the answer for forgiveness or love or joy. They are renewed every day because our God is infinite and God's love for us is infinite. Think back to some of these readings, not all heard today, but all very familiar to you. Exodus 16, this is probably the most obvious. When the Israelites were in the desert and they were waiting for that food to come every day, what were they told? Take only what you need for today. Everything else will spoil, and actually the Bible says it will stank and have worms. There are echoes of that just-in-time grace in things like this from Isaiah. O Lord, be gracious unto us. We wait for you. Be our arm every morning. Or again from Lamentations, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies are new every morning. Jeremiah himself seemed to have it in one of the readings that we shared. Strength every morning, our salvation in time of stress. And Jesus includes it in his teachings as well. Do not worry about what you will wear or what you will eat or what you will drink. Our Heavenly Father knows what you need and will provide those things. How much comfort is there in those words for you? When you're in a time of stress or there's some unfortunate circumstance in your life, do you stop and remember that the grace is there, that the love and support are there? Or do you think, now what am I going to do? Who will I turn to now? Some of us do that. We're very independent. We're used to taking care of ourselves. And our idea is to say, what shall I do? How shall I handle this? Our first answer isn't, let me turn to God in prayer for guidance as to how I should handle this. We may turn to a friend or a neighbor or a family member and ask that same question. But we could also turn to the Bible and be reminded, even in the book of Corinthians, that Paul was told, my grace is sufficient for you. Think about it. You've all been faced with a situation where you thought, this is it. There is no future here. I don't know where to go next. And we, in our humanness, sat in that dark place and waited for something to come, some sort of light. And the light was right there. It was just a little bit away. But when we look at this, we need to look at it with the eyes of a faithful community. Everything else that we have comes from God. So will our grace and our salvation. So will our help in times of need. And just-in-time grace isn't something from the past. I once heard a minister pray, saying, we thank thee, O Lord, for all the blessings that we have received. But he then went on to say, but O Lord, we cannot live on past blessings alone. So please bless us today and tomorrow with what we need. Just-in-time grace isn't only for the future either. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German Lutheran pastor and theologian. He was also a participant in the German resistance movement against Nazism. And while he was in a prison for resisting Hitler, Bonhoeffer wrote this: I believe that God will give us all the strength we need to help us resist in all the times of distress. But he never gives it in advance, lest we rely on ourselves and not on him alone. Just as we can't sustain our outer life on past meals or past promises or future ones, our inner lives can't exist that way either. They can't be sustained that way. And if you consider all the constant unease in our world today, terrorist threats, rogue nations seeking nuclear capabilities, financial instability, job shortages, worries about our loved ones and our health concerns, the landing of the Discovery shuttle, record-breaking floods in the Red River, Fargo, North Dakota, and Moorhead, Minnesota, estimated to reach 40 feet of the 43-foot dikes. Thankfully, the temperature was so cold that the water flow slowed down and those dikes did hold. Now consider all of these concerns in the context of just-in-time grace. We might want a lifetime of assurance. It would be nice to know that we would never have to worry about anything else again, but that's not going to happen. If Bonhoeffer suggests that we get what we need when we need it, so that we continue to come to God in prayer, then perhaps "give us this day our daily bread" has more than one meaning. It's a short but powerful expression of what we need in a day-to-day life. Give us this day our daily strength. Give us this day our daily faith, our daily patience, our daily love. Give us this day what we need. None of us can prepare entirely for the rest of our lives because we don't know what's around the corner for us. But we do know that certain things will be here no matter what. This congregation, your family and friends, most of all, God, and the relationship that you have with God. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, I have a personal mission in life that you may not know, but I'm going to try to enlist all of you in that today. For those of you who are old enough to remember, I'll say your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to help me eradicate this phrase. And you all know, you may not know it just this second, but you'll know what it is as soon as you hear it. It flies right in the face of just-in-time grace. John Bradford, who lived in the 1500s, was a church person, later ordained a priest at St. Paul's. He was an English reformer and a martyr, and he is best remembered, much to my chagrin, for his utterance, "There but for the grace of God goes John Bradford," which we now use, "There but for the grace of God go I." John Bradford was in prison, waiting to be executed, and as he watched the other prisoners go to their execution, those were his words, "There but for the grace of God go I." We hear that expression all the time. Some of us have used it ourselves. The implication, though, for a faithful community is that those poor people over there, whatever happened to them, happened because the grace of God was not with them. Not because of the actions or free will of someone else, but because God was busy over here and wasn't paying attention over there. Bad things don't happen to us because we don't have God's grace. And God's grace doesn't prevent bad things from happening to us. Doesn't prevent us from getting sick. Doesn't prevent us from getting divorced or from dying. But we get to do so with grace. Now, here's the sad thing, and this tells us, you know, selective memory? We've all heard and talked about that at other times. This is what John Bradford is best remembered for saying. "There but for the grace of God go I." As he's standing at the stake with a fellow martyr waiting for the fires to be lit, here's what he actually says, his penultimate words, which I really wish we would remember more. "Be of good comfort, brother, for we shall have a merry supper with the Lord tonight." That's the theology and the faith that I would like us to be remembering. He remembers the grace. He remembers the faith, and he trusts that even as he's standing at that stake waiting for that fire to be lit, that everything will be okay. He knows where he's going. He knows that he has a Savior, and he trusts in that Savior. Remember the Rocky and Bullwinkle shows on TV? That poor, what's her name? Why am I asking? Roseanne. Sorry.
Or is it Natasha?
Was it Nell? Nell is the heroine, right? Boris and Natasha were the bad guys. You're right, though. See? You did watch it. But Nell was always needing to be saved from Snidely Whiplash. And there he was, the hero. Dudley always came riding in on his horse right at the last, whether she's laying on a train track, she's about to drink something poisonous, about to go over a cliff, there he was, like that. And I'm not suggesting that our hero is going to come riding in on a horse to save us. That's another scripture for another Sunday. Our hero has already saved us, has already done everything we need to ensure that we have everything that we need when we need it. Unfortunately, it might not be what we think we need. And that's where we feel the loss. That's where we feel the deprivation. Because we were looking for this. This is what I need right here. God still delivers us salvation and grace, but it isn't in the form or the shape or the person that we were expecting. What I'm saying is that one way or another, our relationship with God is no different than our relationship with everyone else. It's not one way. Every relationship that you have is sustained mutually. You don't just call your family when you need something from them. You don't just reach out to your friends when you need something. You maintain a relationship with them. You check in with them. You check to see how they are. And God is asking the same thing of us. There aren't any conditions on the just-in-time grace. Our response to that is out of gratitude and love, that we check in with God every day, hopefully more than once a day, that we say thank you, thank you, thank you. This is a tough time. I wish I didn't have to do this, but thank you for being here with me. Thank you for having my family support me along the way. Thank you for my church family. Thank you for my grace and my salvation. Don't worry about what tomorrow holds. Stay in close relationship with the one who provides your grace and your salvation. And again, in those times of need, where are you going to turn? Turn to one another. Feel free to do that. But also turn here. The answers are here. The comfort and the reassurances are here. Listen, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Humble yourself before God, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. And the last for today, from Proverbs again, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Anybody missing the promise there? One of my favorites, and another favorite from Romans, for all of you for today. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And the one who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for all saints in accordance to God's will. And we know that in all things God works together for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Just in time, grace. It's right there. Jeremiah and the gospel reading this morning also tell us that there is grace everywhere. We just have to sometimes look for it and be open to the new ways in which it appears. But remember that every day you're faced with a rising river of your own. The dikes may hold and they may not. But it doesn't mean that the grace of God was absent from your life at that time. It means that those dikes are part of the plan that God has for you. Not only are we right with God by grace through faith, but our holy God enables us through the Holy Spirit to the living Christ to live holy lives with just-in-time grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.